The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this 12th day of April, 2024. Are we ready for the weekend? I have a good, strong suggestion on how you should begin it, a specific place you should be tonight if you are so inclined, and that's just seconds away. I have strong suggestions on what we might talk about today. Some of it involves Arizona's abortion law, which the state's attorney general says, she's not going to enforce. Meanwhile, abortion high priestess Kamala Harris gets ready to deploy to Arizona because this stuff and climate and gender insanity is pretty well the only stuff these people care about. We're going to find out what you care about today with multiple issues and wrap up the week. And just as O.J. Simpson did my show a favor for more than a year in 94 and 95, when I had scarcely opened the door back into my native Texas, he does us a favor today by dying at the end of yesterday's show. We have a few things to talk about, so let's get ready. First topic on the griddle, it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good.
I would not. So good. I got you.
He didn't die at the end of yesterday's show. I guess it was the previous day. Heard about it with like 5 minutes of show left yesterday, so, That lays a little bit of our groundwork today. But first, there's a pretty strong reason for kicking out of the James Brown montage with some AC/DC. It just works, and that's why I do it so often. But today, there's a particular reason. Little Shoot to Thrill from Back in Black. Oh, hey, Back in Black album title. And also, definitive AC/DC cover band in these United States. And they're at Lava Cantina tonight. So, right offhand, you ought to go. Oh, but there's more. Well, all right. So not only, I think what Lisa and I do, we see them like twice inside of 3 months. We'd go tonight if we didn't have other plans, but that's how great these guys are. But, first of all, any excuse to get into Lava Cantina, which is just a great, 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 great. It's up in the colony at 121. Get there early because there's a friend of mine on stage earlier, someone you've heard on this show, because she's become quite the spokesperson for something very near and dear to her. But first, what's this all about? Prior to Back in Black, the definitive AC/DC cover band taking the stage, you get a little something called Metal Shop. And that is the definitive area, hair band, Aussie, White Snake, they were broader than that, some Metallica and some Bon Jovi and stuff like that too. But on the drums is a woman named April Samuels, who's been a friend of mine for decades. And that is, can I say badass this early on a Friday show? I think I just did, so I'm going to, because boy, does it work. She is one of the literally badass women you'll ever meet. And that would be true even if she were not a breast cancer survivor and with a brand new book out. Go to aprilsamuels.com, read all about it and get it. I think she's got book parties and stuff like that. Go see her, ply her trade, and pound the skins tonight for Metal Shop in advance of Back in Black, the AC/DC cover band at Lava Cantina. But her charity is, so she's a drummer, right? Got that? So hence the name, Breast Cancer Can Stick It. Get it? As in drumsticks. The Breast Cancer Can Stick It Foundation. They have the Drumathon. They bring all kinds of famous drummers. You can have them drum alongside famous drummers. It's crazy. She's awesome. And the band is great. And so before you even get to Back in Black, the definitive AC/DC cover band, you get Metal Shop. And I think they give, I'm sure they have normal human names like April does. I think for that they all have metal pseudonyms. And I think she is Crash Gordon. Okay. But they're so great. She's so great. Give her a big howdy if you see her at Lava Cantina tonight. So that's what I think you ought to do to kick off your weekend. And I mean, the tonight part of your weekend. To kick off the weekend with us here today, the timing was so wild. Pull back the curtain. By the time we get to 9:50-something, and like the end of the show is right there in front of my face. And here's how it goes. We do a nice fat segment from the 9:35 headlines, and I don't tend to break until like 50 something. So that's a whole lot of radio. Whole lot of radio. And then what I'm doing in that final break, some people have asked, particularly insightful listeners have said, "Hey Mark, how does the final song of the show end precisely at the moment at which, you know, the commercials have to begin to get into top of the hour news exactly on time?" Astute listener question. And the answer is, when I take that last commercial break, sometimes I know what the exit tune is going to be. Sometimes it's like, wow, I need to find an exit tune. And sometimes it's a rock and roll birthday or some other genre birthday or just something I heard yesterday that I thought would be cool. So I've got to go get that and start it playing at an exact moment under the commercial where you don't hear it. So that when the commercials end and it's like, hey, time to get out of here, we're like in the middle or the, you know, front third of a song that then plays out as I'm doing the credits and thanking Rhonda and Matt and Nikki and all that, and thanking you, of course, first and foremost. And then it ends and bada boom. So I'm looking for, I don't even remember what yesterday's, Stevie Ray Vaughan. AC/DC on a Friday, Stevie Ray Vaughan at the end of any given day, always a good idea. So I'm looking for, what are we going to do? Texas Flood or Can't Stand the Weather or Pride and Joy, just whatever. And are you ready for this? And of course, TV is always on. Intercom here is always on. Directly above my laptop screen is a larger screen that contains the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. And literally, somebody with all of our resources, you know, somebody in Forney or something informed me of OJ's death that instant. So I'm sitting there looking through my Stevie Ray Vaughan library, and just peripherally, or as they say in Maryland, peripherally, I shift my eyes a little bit, and the thing, OJ dead at 76. What? So, I mean, it's like, all right, well, I guess I need to address this briefly as we come out in the final, like, minute and a half of the show. And so I did, and it's like, okay, hey, I guess we'll deal with this in some detail tomorrow. And just get ready for a day of coverage and reaction. And so when we get together tomorrow for the Friday show, we'll talk about him, talk about us, and talk about what he showed about us and the amazing journey. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. The OJ lifespan is fit over my own. And listen, generationally, I'm 66, so this is going to sound like you. I started paying attention to football, you know, and I'm a pre-adolescent, adolescent, whatever, watching games with my dad. And so I remember when he won the Heisman Trophy at USC. And by the time I'm really getting into the NFL, by the time, you know, early 70s, and you know, the dirty little secret, I grew up at RFK. Yes, the Redskins. I bled burgundy and gold as a kid. God has a sense of humor. He said, "You, son, are going back to your native Texas to spend your final decades, and you will be in the land of the Cowboys." And couldn't be happier. Thank you very much, God. It's old school folks around here. Just the era of Roger Staubach. You know, the era of Bob Lilly. The era of Bob Hayes. This is pre Randy White, okay? And I'm watching Sonny Jurgensen and Charlie Taylor and Larry Brown and Billy Kilmer. It was early 70s NFC East. I mean, it was the best. It was the best because both teams were good. When's the last time that happened? But over or up in Buffalo, there's this guy, and it's Orenthal James Simpson. And it was like, so no matter who your team is, no matter who your team is now, this is Cowboy Nation, but you can't not watch Patrick Mahomes. You can't not, you know, whose teammate, by the way, Rashee Rice, did turn him into cops yesterday. Out on bond. We'll see how those wheels of justice turn. Got more on that in a minute. You can't not know, you Tom Brady. You can't not pay attention to Tom Brady, right? And OJ was the greatest, remains to this day. Just one of the greatest running backs ever to touch the ball. And so his fame was so great and his personality so magnetic that, you know, you turn that immediately into acting, turn that into, you know, commercials. Those Hertz ads. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Hertz ads. You're rushing to get your rental car and OJ's, you know, leaping over seats and people and, you know, who knows what, you know, to get to his Hertz rental car. And then he's in movies, just a pretty fine comic actor in the Naked Gun movies. They even attempted serious acting in a little sci-fi thing called Capricorn One, where they thought the crew was dead, but they're not. So there's the OJ show business career. So as God opens the door for me to return to my native Texas to do talk shows in, you know, just 30 years ago last month, I come back and I guess there's some stuff going on. Obviously, Texas primaries are going on. All kinds of things are happening. You know, the Hillary's health care plan. And then OJ kills a couple of people. It's like, okay. And then that rodeo is on for a year and a half of the crime, the trial, the acquittal. And then really for years thereafter, he never fully went away. Intermittently over the last few years, it was like, well, he's in jail, not for this. I mean, I guess the first thing was the civil finding of liability. He is not a convicted murderer. He was found civilly liable. A jury did say a preponderance of the evidence indicates that he did it. Okay, I'll take that. And then he went to prison for a big dust. He thinks that some memorabilia collectors stole his stuff and he went to get it back with a gun in a hotel room. Not the way to get your stuff back. So he went to jail for that. Not for long. Came out. And then all of a sudden, I guess, resumed his search on various golf courses for the real killers. And then, day before yesterday, well, a couple of months ago, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer, apparently, and was doing chemo, doing all kinds of aggressive treatment. The rumors got out, and he posted, he used to post stuff all the time, so awkward. Here's flipping OJ talking about, like, you know, the over-under on a Bills-Patriots game in October. Is like, you know, I don't know. I got to tell you. I have a feeling. It's like, what? What? I mean, do I need to be looking at you? You know, And there was a rumor of his illness, and he denied that. Said, I'm doing fine. Not so much. Because it intensified, and then on Wednesday, the prostate cancer got him. So OJ at 76 has died. And that sent me into a fascinating spiral yesterday of immersion into what that was like. Because there are, when do you start paying attention to the news? I mean, for me, it was like when I was 8. I was a dork. I mean, you pay attention to some stuff. I mean, you remember 9/11 if you were 6, but I mean, there are people who are 40 right now who don't really have that much. You didn't watch every day of the trial because you were 10, you know? And so this is very generational. And it got me to thinking about past generations and this generation and justice and race relations, both of which have gotten worse, just all kinds of things. So got a few things to say about that. So I'll start, and you can attach yourself, and then we'll do that and other things as well on this Friday, the 12th of April. 866-660-5759 is how you join us. That's how you call us, and that is how you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. So before we do any of those things, let's do this. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, where our schools and public spaces are safe, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Mark Davis, happy Friday to you. It's 7:22.
I'd hide it to myself and never talk about it and did not go and shout it when you
walk. How many shows
I think I love you.
Give you some AC/DC and some Partridge Family?
I think I love you, so
it's the Mark Davis Show.
I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for.
Well, the AC/DC was to celebrate Back in Black, tribute band, Lava Cantina tonight, and Metal Shop. And this is to throw some love to the memory of David Cassidy, who would have been 74 today, passed away back in 2017. AC/DC, Partridge Family, that would have been a double bill, huh? Could that have happened? I guess circa 73, 74, they met. you laugh. The Monkees once opened, hold on, who opened for who? The Monkees and Jimi Hendrix. That might have been Hendrix opening for the Monkees? Anyway, anything's possible. All right, let's see what's possible on the phone lines. 866-660-5759. We're in Rockwall. Sophia, welcome. Happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, happy Friday, hey. Mark. I was in my early 20s and going to college and in criminal justice when I started to really saturate myself in politics, and particularly this case. My dad and I can remember watching the trial for hours, and he recorded it all on VHS tape.
Of course.
We would, you know, totally dissect what was going on. And at the time, with the race relations heightened in LA with the Rodney King, what I surmised was that there was an overflow of that particular incident.
Of course.
Bane.
And the jury admitted it. Jurors admitted, we found OJ intentionally not guilty in order to get back at an America that had insufficiently delivered punishment to the cops who beat Rodney King. It was completely racial revenge.
Yep. Sad.
So, now, so, but this, you're generationally perfect. Young adult. And you remember everybody said, oh, I'm sick of watching OJ. I'm sick of OJ. I'm sick of OJ. And some people were. And even I grew weary at times. But the dirty little secret was virtually everybody was immersed in this up to their necks. Every day it was compelling. It was fascinating. You couldn't pull away from it. You couldn't divert your eyes. And it showed us things about America. And it showed us things about justice. And thank God for cameras in the courtroom. I was like, oh, there need to be cameras in the courtroom. Thank God there were cameras in the courtroom, because we got to see what level of justice, or in this case, injustice. actually took place, rather than relying on reporters, you know, interviewing Cato Kalin on the steps of the courthouse. I mean, thank you, no. So, Sophia, thank you for the memory. I appreciate it very, very, very much. Yeah, cameras in the I had been lobbying for cameras in the courtroom forever. It's the public's business going on in there. You know, the whole Johnny Cochran, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Johnny Cochran was on the show. Johnny Cochran came to BAP and couldn't have been nicer, could not have been more gracious, brought us chicken. which just we had to smile, and we talked, we met a little, let me break it. I'll tell you what that was like, what I remember of it, and because it's quite the day of memories in matters of justice and race and personality and privilege, et cetera, et cetera. So that and other issues as we work our way through a Friday. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 731. Nikki Whaley is in the newsroom. My familiarity with the Pat Travers Band came from one of the, I guess, one of the first Nicolas Cage movies. Valley Girl. With an actress named Deborah Foreman, who later was in just a lot of slasher films. I don't know why she didn't have a broader career. Because she was great. Nicolas Cage was the dark, brooding bad boy. And he took her out on a date. And he was basically a good dude at heart. This was the his music of choice. Pat Travers Band and I La 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 Love You. And I thought, hey, who's this guy? I then went to discover great albums like Heat in the Streets. Great records like Boom Boom, Out Go the Lights. I'd Rather See You Dead, other love songs. The great Pat Travers is 74 today, so go get you some go get you some Pat Travers, and you will be rewarded. He's just it's gonna be a 74. David Cassidy was 74. Travers is 70. Don't age him before his time. All righty, well, something like the OJ passing ages all of us before our time, and so let me just go at this kind of chronologically, and then what it meant, just sort of what it meant, and because I want to ask you all now. And this is funny, because if you are like 40-ish, this is a childhood memory for you. And I know that the stories have cropped up, and so it's sort of tapped on your shoulder every once in a while as OJ gets in trouble for this or does this particular interview or something, or you see old clips of Norm MacDonald. Oh, my gosh. I had to post this. Somebody went and got 10 solid minutes of Norm MacDonald back when Saturday Night Live was funny, doing Weekend Update and the OJ stories. Oh my gosh, the OJ stories. You know, OJ's attorneys are looking forward to him being cleared of this so that he can get back out into his regular life and resume doing what he does best, killing people. Oh, just joke after joke after joke after joke. Pope John Paul II has a new book out about how the faith is going to approach the 21st century and getting Catholics to reconnect with the church. The book is called God Himself Told Me O.J. is Guilty. I mean, I remember these like they were yesterday. Oh, gosh. Remember when Johnny Cochran, of course, you had, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. The dumbest thing. And of course, it worked because the jury was just front loaded to, you know, whatever Johnny Cochran said. Oh, the Johnny Cochran story. So he, I give his book tour. I don't even remember. This has got to be 2002, 2003. He's blowing through town, speaking engagement. I don't know. And he was just unfailingly charming. And I've always been fascinated by defense attorneys who know their clients are guilty. Often it's public defenders, and they're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. You ever find yourself asking, how do you sleep at night if you are defending a completely guilty person? And there's an answer to that. I've spoken to a ton of defense attorneys over the years, and they say, listen, we're part of the process. And one of the things that's great, one of the things that's great about our system is that when we lock somebody up, we're supposed to feel pretty confident about that because we didn't railroad anybody, you know. We're not a banana republic. We give people a vigorous defense. Even if they can't afford one, we give them attorneys. So they give them an attorney so they can have a vigorous defense. And they say that they are proud to have been part of that system to make the prosecution dot the I's and cross the T's, et cetera, so that when somebody is convicted, we can say that we did it right. Of course, what a lot of those public defenders and attorneys have told me is that that is the feeling they get. Because the clients are indeed found guilty. But how's that feeling when you know your client is guilty and he gets off? How does that work? So I tried to offer that up to Johnny Cochran, and of course involved some presumptuousness, and we both had big smiles on our faces, and they were sincere. I was glad to meet him. He's a major figure in American law and American culture, and he's just glad to be wherever he is. He's Johnny Cochran, and he was just glad to be there. And we took calls for a few minutes, and he was, again, could not have been a more gracious guest, but he never at any point actually answered the question, because that would have involved an admission that he knew O.J. was guilty. Did he? I don't know. I mean, how do any of us know? Do we know like we know our own name? We don't. I've often offered up O.J. as a in my death penalty advocacy, because I am a vociferous supporter of the death penalty. I always will be. It is scriptural. It is symmetrical. You kill, you are killed, because we value life. We take yours if you murder someone innocently, or if you murder an innocent person. But I've said that as every once in a while you'll get some guy released off a death row. Whoops! Hey, we found out he didn't do it. Whoa! Okay. Whoa! That gives you pause. Gives me pause, because I want it to be, and I've said this a number of times, maybe it needs to be beyond the shadow of a doubt. We have in our justice system a standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. If a jury finds you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, you go to prison. Sometimes you can be executed if it's a capital crime. Maybe that needs to be beyond the shadow of a doubt. Like, we've got video, or you admit it and we've got video, or, and not just even somebody saw you do it. People can be unreliable. DNA is usually pretty good. Hey, we had DNA here, so but you can place somebody else's blood somewhere. I mean, anything's possible. So I have often said, as sufficiently convinced as I am of OJ's guilt, if this had been a death penalty case, I probably would have said, don't execute him. Because there's always a smidge of a possibility, when you don't have video of him stabbing the living daylights out of Nicole and Ron. So that enabled Johnny Cochran to spend the rest of his days saying, I didn't know he was guilty. I thought he was innocent. Wouldn't have represented him otherwise. Okay. So as we generationally went through this, and take a look at the calendar. O.J. murders were 30 years ago, which to those of us of a certain age doesn't seem like so very, very long ago. Right. It doesn't seem like a wildly, crazily different America. It was Bill Clinton's first term. I had freshly returned to my native Texas. I was 36. Okay, maybe it wasn't. Okay, maybe it was forever ago. No, but against the backdrop of history and culture and stuff like that, 30 years, it's a pretty quick 30 years. 30 years prior to O.J. killing those people, it's 1964. As 1964 dawns, we don't even have the Civil Rights Act. We got colored water fountains in Texas. We've got, black folks can't go to the same theaters in Mississippi. We've got, that was just 30 years before the O.J. murders. 64 to 94 was 100 years of cultural shifts and enlightenment and developments and growth and all kinds of things. 94 to now? Well, obviously there have been changes. There's a path that we've all walked. And so much of it has been bad. It's just been bad. The thing about 64 to 94, I tell you this story all the time, that, in 1964, you've got still a really racist stripe running through all kinds of American culture, American law, Jim Crow is still kind of alive. And then less than a decade later, 1971, the most popular TV show in America makes fun of bigotry. Norman Lear's All in the Family. And it's not like that meant, everything's fixed in America, but it really was. I mean, All in the Family ain't number one in 1964, all right? It ain't getting made in 1964. So it showed that as the 70s dawned, that real change was on the fast track. And what else is on the fast track? O.J. He was the football player of the 70s. Okay, maybe I'm a Terry Bradshaw and Franco Harris. But honestly, I mean, in terms of Super Bowl rings, yes, Steelers. But O.J., my gosh, O.J., at running back. And as the 1970s begin, I'm 12, and I'm watching a lot of football. And O.J. was just magical, just absolute. To watch this guy, oh, my gosh, it was remarkable. And then so after his football career is over, I'm then a young adult watching him go do commercials and do movies and stuff like that. So as we get to the 90s, and O.J.'s in his mid-40s, I was like, okay. It's like, hey, who's O.J. Simpson? He's obviously a pop culture figure, sports hero. Here was the thing. O.J. pre-murders was just one of the most popular, likable, you couldn't find that O.J. Simpson. Oh, I got no use for him. What? He had excelled and delivered in like our two most favorite escapist realms, the world of sports and the world of entertainment. I mean, who didn't love O.J.? Then he killed two people. And that kind of threw a blanket over everything, didn't it? But then the debate began, and the conflicts began. And as we went from that weird day, and I guess were the NBA finals on, and you got O.J. and the Bronco in the corner, this is identified as a moment that changed media forever, the ability to cover something all day, every day. I mean, CNN had existed already for like 15 years, so it's not like there had not been cable news, all-day cable news before, but like one story dominating all day, every day, for months on end. That was new, and we lapped it up, just lapped it up. And then as the trial rolled out in 95, as we got ourselves toward the verdict, which I guess was October of 95, verdict came in at 10 o'clock in the morning, Texas time, 8 o'clock California time. My show on BAP, which I'd been doing for 7 months after returning to my native Texas, was freshly over. And so, hang on a sec, 10 o'clock. I was in my last hour. Oh, that's right. Things get blurry. I was on till 11 because that's when Limbaugh started. It was 11 o'clock. And it was just crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Instantly you became aware, whether you're in a talk show studio or not, that and I guess the sentence you get is there are two Americas. Or it's not two Americas. There's always one America. But in that one America, oh my, there were different strains of opinion. Let me take the pause, because what did it mean? And if you lived through it, what did that day show you? And what have we done with it since? This is very broad brush, but enough of it sticks that the generalization is not false. Black America celebrated O.J. getting off, and white America said, what the hell just happened? 751, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. March of 1940. You can almost hear the palm trees and see the hula dancers for Bing Crosby.
Down where the trade winds play.
In front of Dick McIntyre and his Harmony Hawaii Orchestra. Bing.
Down where you lose.
And trade winds. In the way, 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 way back machine. So we've sort of gone way, way, way back in American history to examine the progress we made from Jim Crow to the 90s. Jim Crow into the 70s. I mean, progress, racial enlightenment progress was moving. It was on a fast track. You know, justice delayed is justice denied. Had to get there, got there. Not that everything ever became perfect. It's not perfect now. But boy, we were inexorably making progress. And then, you know, in the 90s, you get this. and America gets a face full of jury nullification as a majority black jury ignores evidence to let a guilty black man go free. Why? I mean, of course, Rodney King and dissatisfaction over that, a revenge verdict. But just overall, generally speaking, sort of the 400 years of oppression. So we're going to do this. There's a part of me that understands the human nature of this. You're like, I'll show this system. I totally get it. But it's every juror's responsibility to suppress that. The response to injustice is not injustice back in the other direction. I mean, a la reparations and nonsense like that. The response to injustice is justice. The proper progress from the presence of injustice is the absence of injustice, and to deliver verdicts without regard to race and without racial animus. So that was just a stain. And then a decade-ish later, we get the Obama presidency, which supposedly, you know, was supposed to make everything better. Did that work? We'll discuss next. The passing of OJ has us talking about race and justice and the progress we need to make in both, and how both of them are kind of in the toilet right now, and what can we do about that, and other things in the news. It's our Friday show. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. Grab a line, 759.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.